Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll & Mooring. We are your co-hosts, Peter Ayer and David Robbins, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We start with the Obama administration's effort to quote-unquote get stuff done, and it continues unabated during this period. Perhaps the most notable of the many rules is the final rule establishing paid sick leave for federal contractors. As stated in the title, the rule generally requires certain parties that contract with the federal government to provide employees with up to 7 days of paid sick leave annually, including paid leave allowing for family care. The final rule applies to Executive Order 13706, to contracts covered by the SCA or Service Contract Act, the Davis-Bacon Act, concessions contracts and service contracts in connection with federal property or lands issued on or after January 1, 2017. The regulations do not apply to contracts for the manufacturing or furnishing of materials, supplies, articles, or equipment to the federal government that are subject to the Walsh-Healey Act. There are a number of choices contractors have in affording employees with this leave time, and we, or your normal counsel, would be happy to walk you through that analysis. Of slightly lesser impact, but still significant, the DoD, GSA, and NASA finalized a proposed rule to preclude contractors with delinquent federal tax liability and corporate felony convictions from contracting with the U.S. government unless the agency suspending and debarring official has reviewed the matter and determined that exclusion is not necessary. Absent from this rule is any indication of how agencies will evaluate and determine if suspension and debarment is not warranted, and whether the agencies can rely on the traditional lead agency process. Because this preclusion is agency-specific, unless guidance emerges, companies will likely need to conduct a roadshow across its federal customer base, meeting with various suspension and debarment officials.
Thank you, Peter, and welcome back. We missed you the last podcast.
It is good to be back.
Excellent. The DoD also issued a final rule to implement sections 813A of the 2015 NDAA about rights in technical data relating to major weapons systems to expand the presumption that commercial items have been developed entirely at private expense for the purposes of determining the rights in the associated technical data and computer software. Key points here, highlighting that this presumption applies to major weapon systems. I'm trying to, in my text, it's italicized and underlined. So weapon systems only, and expands the exception to include not just COTS items, but also COTS with modifications, quote, of a type, end quote. Commercial subsystems or components thereof, or components of a subsystem if they were acquired as commercial items. That's a mouthful. We'd be happy to walk anyone through, or your normal counsel, what it means and how it applies. DoD, GSA, and NASA also amended the allowable cost limits of contractor and subcontractor employee compensation, setting it at $487,000 per year, and the amount is set to be adjusted annually. The rule also implements the narrowly targeted exception to this allowable cost limit for scientists, engineers, or other specialists in certain areas. Veteran employee reporting rules went final during this period with no change, meaning veteran employment reporting will continue on the form VETS 4212, Federal Contractor Veterans Employment Reform Report Form. Forgive me. Ukraine and Moldova became designated under the World Trade Organization Government Procurement Agreement, and with that, the countries are now Trade Agreements Act-designated countries. Back to DoD, GSA, and NASA news, those three agencies also issued an interim rule entitled, quote, non-retaliation for disclosure of compensation information, end quote. The interim rule adds to the Equal Opportunity Clause at FAR 52.222-26, prohibiting contractors from discriminating against employees and applicants who ask about, discuss, or disclose compensation information. Finally, in Carlson v. DynCorp, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit held in an unpublished decision that the anti-retaliation provisions of the False Claims Act protect a whistleblower's efforts to prevent False Claims Act violations, even where there is no distinct possibility of litigation. Keywords there on the standard are distinct possibility. This broadens the prior standard for when retaliation suits could continue and reflects amendments to the False Claims Act since that standard was announced. This bears watching for contractors under the Fourth Circuit jurisdiction at a minimum. This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. And if you have any questions about these items, Peter can be reached at 202-624-2807 and David at 202-624-2627.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. Subscribe on iTunes or visit kroll.com/govconpodcast for more information.